This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
All right. Good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we are here in the hermetically sealed Tab Computer Systems Studios in lovely East Hartford, Connecticut, where in Connecticut you can buy a gallon of milk, a gallon of vodka, but not a gallon of paint. And we're here to help you go through the upcoming apocalypse we've been dealing with, the slow-motion destruction that's going on here. That's just we're all trying to live through, and we're here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. So feel free to get on. We are live, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we'll do our best to take your calls. We're going to have, this is our first time doing the show remote like this in our hermetically sealed studios, so bear with us as far as some of the choppiness that could occur between calls and stuff like that as we get used to the situation. Obviously, a lot of you are working from home, and we are very busy with our client base of 8,000-9,000 people that we are trying to work with to connect remotely, and all of them have different scenarios as far as connecting remotely, and many of them have different pipelines to the network. And that's kind of been a problem in that they didn't realize just how bad it could be if your internet connection is 10 megabits. So we talk about VPNs, we talk about remote desktop. There's many aspects to this remote work that folks are doing to get you a good result as far as how you're going to work remotely from home. And so your internet connection at home, it doesn't play that big of a role unless your kids are streaming 4K movies while you're trying to work. And if that's the case, it's like driving a Mack truck down your little country road of an internet connection while you're trying to work. So that can affect you. You establish your VPN, which is, by the way, only half of the equation. A VPN is a nice connection to your office, but it's not the whole equation. You need a way to land on something to work remotely, whether it be a terminal server or a remote desktop. Yes, Bob?
If you have the right router, you can throttle your kids.
That's true. Throttling your kids. No net neutrality within your own homes. But again, a VPN, great to have, important for security, but basically it's just an extension cord from where you used to work all the way back to your home. And unfortunately, that extension cord is nothing like the nice fat connection you had from your PC to the servers in your office. It's basically, if you compare it to highways, your PC in your office to your server was a 1,000-lane highway with very few cars on it, all smartly driven from your PC to your server. When you go and connect a VPN from your home PC to your office router, you're going over a country road now.
Oh, I thought it was more like a backwoods path.
Backwoods path is fine. So now you've established a connection. You can't open that big CAD file over that VPN and expect it to work. You can't open that big Excel document or that big Word document, drag it across that country road, and expect it to work. You need to be connected to a host, something that is going to offer up the data without actually dragging it across the line. So when you're establishing a VPN, half the battle. The rest of it is what are you going to land on? You're going to land on a remote desktop or a terminal server or a Citrix server. Those servers are designed and those systems are designed to display the information to you without having it come across the actual line. Then all of a sudden you're fast again. Remote CAD work, very difficult to do, as you engineers I'm sure are finding. But most office work you can do remotely with very little trouble at all. Most applications will work beautifully over the VPN with some level of host.
With remote desktop, you can also have multiple monitors, assuming that you have multiple monitors at home.
Right.
So
printing can be a little messy, but that can get cleared up over time as we spend our next weeks or two doing what we're doing. So in other news, what's going on here with all this craziness? Netflix is starting a 30-day video data diet. So the EU, this is the EU, has requested Netflix to start offering the videos at low resolution. Why? Because the EU's network, they're worried about the network actually being impacted by all of you, all of the folks streaming at the same time. You have another story, Bob, about this, right?
Yes, YouTube is following Netflix by reducing streaming quality due to coronavirus. The video streaming service is making standard definition the default setting in the EU to keep internet running smoothly.
Right.
So it's not just Netflix, it's YouTube and Hulu. I have another article. Hulu is back up again after users complain of videos not loading because they got overloaded.
Right. So as we stream everything, again, we've talked about this before, high definition streaming, 1080p definition, 720p definition, very good quality videos. They take up a lot of space on the internet. Data has mass. It actually affects your bandwidth. And if you try to download something or view something in 4K, you're just stuffing that pipe completely full of video. And I would dare you to tell me you could even tell the difference between 4K and 1080p. But they're telling you to go down to standard definition, which is below 420, I think, or maybe at 420p.
Like 420 by 460 by 420, something like that.
Yeah, so that'll be less data being consumed so that the EU's network doesn't go down while they're all trying to work remotely. Could that happen here in America? Of course it could happen here in America, right? I mean, our networks, the way we've limited the amount of competition on our poles by only allowing two providers to provide us internet. This is America, us forward-thinking, IT-savvy America only allows two providers. They make it almost impossible for any other provider to get on our poles. There's no pole neutrality, right? You got people like Pura here in Connecticut making it even more difficult for additional providers to get on our poles. So you're going to have to hope your cable company, yes, the cable guys, or the DSL provider can handle all this bandwidth. We'll see if they can. We'll see if their networks can handle all this demand as everybody starts working from home. It's going to be very interesting to see. Now, if this goes down, maybe, just maybe, we will get an alternative where folks say, look, maybe we should allow more competition on our poles. Fiber is what you got. You got companies like GoNetSpeed that are trying to offer that that alternative. You just got to let them know you're interested. And the more we get that, the lower our broadband costs are going to be. So maybe we're going to have something good come out of this mess. Who knows when it comes to technology. Speaking of technology. What a horrible transition. We're just transitioning to what we do. NASA had this great thing they're trying to do. They're going to launch 247 petabytes of data onto the Amazon cloud. That's wonderful. All these great pictures of all the NASA things that have been going on, of all the galaxies and all this stuff that they've been doing. They're so excited. They're so excited, Bob, to put 247 petabytes of data onto the Amazon cloud. But you know what they forgot? the cost, the eye-watering, cloudy cost of getting the data off. So if you are a user of this data and you want to go, while you're home doing nothing these days, you want to go ahead and check out NASA's website. Every time you download a picture, it's costing them an arm and a leg that they did not bargain for. So again, the cloud is not free. The servers on the cloud are not free. They've got power. They got bandwidth. You got to pay for it, NASA. And they did an audit that finds that this error could actually, mean less data flows to us rather than more because they didn't pay attention to the cost of the cloud. You're going to find this all the time when people talk about cloud. Oh, here it is. It's so great. It's so, such a great way to get access to your systems, but they don't tell you about the ongoing cost. And when that ongoing cost generally doesn't go down either. So NASA's found out the hard way, and guess who's going to pay for that?
We are.
So I'll put that, well, all these links will go up as usual over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. Everything we talk about this morning will go over to Facebook. And if Mark Zuckerberg deems the news worthy, it'll get posted into your news feed if you like Tab Computer Systems on Facebook. And of course, if you follow Twitter and you have time for Twitter, which I have no idea how you do, you can follow us at Tab Computer Sys. We're going to step out for a quick break. I think we have a couple of calls on the line. And if there's open lines, feel free to get online. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. This is the remote edition in the hermetically sealed Tab Computer Systems studio in lovely East Hartford, Connecticut. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, the remote edition, the Apocalypse Edition 2. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here to help you out with your computer problems, questions, comments, and concerns. Don't know how the lines are doing because I can't see them, but I know we have a couple of calls, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Let's go to Steve in Hamden first. He was our first caller. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Eric. Good morning, Bob. Stephen Winstead.
you're Winstead? He put Hamden down here. All right.
Live radio.
Yeah, there it is. What can I do for you, sir?
Well, last week I brought up how this whole thing reminds me of the episode in Star Trek, Mary.
Yeah, I just watched that last night.
Isn't that a good episode?
It's a weird one. Why? What is it with Star Trek and duplicating everything? I mean, the first three or four episodes of Star Trek was duplicate Kirks and duplicate worlds of duplicate Earths. Mary had a duplicate Earth for what reason? I have no idea. But yeah, it is an interesting episode.
It gives them a chance to just add a little more material.
Yeah.
But I think that what I wanted to say is last week you brought up, you got me into trivia mode, and I had like that bonk, bonk moment on my head.
Right.
Trying to get that out.
Yeah.
The episode when they age really fast, it's called The Deadly Years.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you've got, basically, I think your call actually got me into watching the old episodes.
Oh, so they're all good.
That's what I'm doing, yeah. But it
I
is
love
interesting.
Those classic episodes.
Yeah, I can't wait to get to the
M5.
One.
Did you get to the M5 episode?
M5. Not yet.
That one's good.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk also about Elon Musk.
Yeah.
And you brought up how he wants to roast a chicken in space, and I thought about it, and I said, wait. No,
he's not roasting a chicken in space.
The temperature in outer space is minus 273 degrees.
It depends on whether or not you're facing the sun.
Yeah, I didn't bring anything up about roasting a chicken in space. Did you, Bob? Maybe
no,
Danny did. Our resident groupie Danny's always talking about Elon Musk.
Oh, okay. And I
no
thought about
idea.
It even further, and I said, wait, so if the temperature in outer space is minus 273 degrees,
yeah,
and we got all these people griping about the planet overheating itself, I don't see how that could possibly happen.
Yeah, I have no idea. I know Elon thought his business was essential. He had to shut down his plant where he's building Teslas. You know, he was refusing the order and say, hey, no, I'm essential. It's like, sorry, buddy, building Teslas is not essential. So he had to finally shut down. But, you know, that's Elon. He's a different guy. Go ahead, Bob. You have another story about Elon?
Right, but he says his companies will make ventilators as coronavirus causes shortage.
Well, that'll make him
so
essential again.
Over.
Unless I suspect he'll build some cars while he builds a ventilator. Then he builds a car, then he builds a ventilator.
Well, maybe he'll build cars with ventilators.
Yeah, there you go. Who knows?
While he's Wi-Fi-ing the entire universe.
Yes, he is. That'll be an interesting thing, too. We'll see how that goes. But well, you know what, the episode of Star Trek that really keeps coming to mind that is kind of, you know, this, in this whole thing that's been going on is the episodes where, you know, Spock's dying right? It's the needs of the few outweigh the needs of the many. And somehow this whole virus thing puts you in a different perspective. We're doing it completely opposite of how Star Trek was lauded, to look at that episode where Spock gives up his life for the needs of the many. We're giving up all of our lives for the needs of the few when it comes down to who is going to be immunocompromised and who might have issues with this virus. I mean, it just seems that we're doing it a little more drastically than we need to. But then again, I'm not a medical doctor. But
well, my question is, if this were to go on for a period of time and people get desperate, how many people will we lose to violence where people are trying to get food?
Right.
You know.
We'll have to see. Hopefully it doesn't get to that point. But that's the episode that keeps popping in my head.
You'll cope. You'll find a way to cope.
That's the key. Yeah, and Americans are definitely tougher than the average nut, so I think we will cope. But thanks for the call.
Bonk, bonk.
All right, Steve. Thank you. Bye. All right, see you later. Let's go on to our resident groupie, Danny, in Glastonbury. You still there, Danny?
Yes, I'm here.
What's going on, sir?
Hey, listen, I have a question. We've got some medical problems in the family, and only one of us can go to the doctor at a time.
Yep.
We both have Samsung Android tablets, and I want to know, without just Wi-Fi, no modem.
Right, right.
What is the best app to use, or the first two or three apps, to communicate via the doctor's office to home while the other person can't be there, sort of the teleconference? Is it Skype, or is there anything better than that?
Well, Skype is popular, and Duo is part of the Android operating system.
Duo?
Duo.
Yeah.
So I would tell you to check that out. Now, your operating system may not support it. It's a little old.
Okay.
But you should check to see if your version does. Most of the telemedicine folks will have a method for you to connect if they've got telemedicine configured.
Mm-hmm.
So it should just be a browser-based solution that you don't even need anything special.
You mean like
special.
Teladoc or something like that?
Exactly. If you're doing any kind of telemedicine with any of your folks there, they're going to have the method configured for you. So it's not like you have to figure out how to do it. They're going to tell you, hey, go ahead and browse to this website and click on this, and you'll get your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I would suspect that's what's going to occur here. But you could use Duo to talk to your family.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, like if my wife's at a doctor's appointment, normally I would go with her. If I am, she would come with me. But so I can hear the conversation and ask questions back and forth. I'm really not concerned about video, just good audio.
Oh, well, you could just have her turn her cell phone on speaker.
We did that yesterday, and, you know, the quality wasn't that good.
Hmm.
Because it's a, you know, it's an old LG flip phone. We're not, yeah.
Yeah, I guess there aren't any phones.
We have no smartphones, so.
Right, and the doctor wouldn't have phones in each of the exam rooms.
Yeah,
so
and they don't have telephones anymore with a speakerphone on it.
Yeah, well, that's really the only solution I can think of.
Skype and Duo, okay, and whatever they're configured. Hey, listen, Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Okay.
I knew you'd say something.
FCC just gave him approval for 1 million ground antennas for receivers for his satellite network.
Wow.
He's got 360 satellites up now.
Yep.
You were talking about the Roadster. Where's the Roadster last week?
Well, we have the app up there now. It wasn't the rotisserie chicken in the set. It was the Roadster.
Yeah, Roadster's going in between the sun and Mars and passing by us.
Nice.
And there's no rule that he has to get a certain number of satellites up by a certain time.
I believe you. It's Elon will get them up whenever
he'll have them up every 2 weeks. He's planning the launch. He's got a backlog of satellites already that they've built.
Oh, really?
And that other company, OneWeb, that was, you know, going to try to do the same thing, they're backed by that company, SoftBank. They're on the verge of filing for bankruptcy.
Uh-oh.
And the latency for the network is going to be under 20 milliseconds.
Nice. Well, we'll see how it goes.
So they can do high-speed gaming.
It'd be great to have an alternative to the cable and DSL companies. If that's an alternative, I'm all in. The
you know,
more alternatives
I feel bad for your guys that I really like, the guys that are doing the one, what's it, NetSpeed or whatever.
Feel bad. Fiber is never going to be replaced. If they can put more fiber down, Elon's not going to beat them necessarily.
Because I like what those guys are trying to do and everything, and I hope he doesn't, you know.
He won't. They're going to be fine. Fiber is always going to. We're so far behind that fiber is going to be something that we're going to be using for a very long time. So I wouldn't worry about that.
His coast to coast, his time is faster than fiber right now.
Say that again.
His satellite network will have coast to coast transmission times lower than fiber.
Yeah, but they may not have the broadband of fiber. We'll see what kind of bandwidth those satellites can handle, and how much of a subscription, how many subscribers to each satellite can they handle.
That's
Who knows?
It's not going to be good in cities as it's going to be in rural areas.
Right, and that's fine.
Because, you know, too many people would be drawn off the same satellites and lasers and everything.
Right, so we'll see.
All right, well, welcome to the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, good luck, Danny. Take care.
You guys too. Goodbye.
All right, goodbye. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. We are live from the hermetically sealed studios here in East Hartford, Connecticut, in Tab Computer Systems. Everything we talk about will be posted live over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. I have no idea how many lines are open. I think we have a couple lines open, so feel free to get online during the news. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we will do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns to get you through this. If you're having issues with remote connectivity to your business, we can probably try to help you there, too. Setting up, dealing with VPNs, remote desktop, terminal services, whatever you need, we can do our best for you. We'll be right back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we are live, remotely, but we are back. We are here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And I guess we have three lines filled and one line open for you. Feel free to get online at 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. So let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to Sue first. Sue, what's going on?
Good morning. My question concerns my TV reception over live TV using digital antenna.
Yeah.
And was wondering if I might have some options. So what I'm noticing is I seem to get a lot of pixelation, which I tend to notice with WFSB.
Mm-hmm.
So my situation is, you know, living in Windsor Locks, you know, I've found online that their transmission tower is about 13 miles away from me, and I know the directions, so I've got my antenna on that facing wall.
Yeah.
And currently I have a Mohu Leaf, which says it has a 35-mile range. Hmm. And I'm just wondering, and what I'm noticing is sometimes even a little wind will cause some of the pixelation, and certainly any of the bigger storms, which I would expect.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if possibly I can make improvements by either changing the antenna, the type of the antenna, and the other thing, of course, I'm dealing with is I do live near the airport, so I didn't know if that might run some interference as well, and was wondering if you had any suggestions for me.
I can answer that. I actually have an article on the best TV antenna for cord cutters in 2020, some starting at only $10. But the point is that when you're running over the air, the TV antenna, the quality of the antenna makes a big difference, number one. Number two, your reception is line of sight. So, for instance, if you're up on a hill, you're going to get better reception. Or if you're in a big flat area where you don't have a lot of hills. So, for instance, for me, I can't get Channel 8.
In Bristol?
I'm in Bristol.
Yeah.
Because I'm on South Mountain. I'm on the wrong side of the mountain, so I can't get to that.
Right.
If you're in another area, you might be able to get it. So it's line of sight. And then if you have trees, like I can get Massachusetts stations in the wintertime when the leaves are off the trees, but I can't get them in the summertime because the leaves actually block the signal. So the higher up you go, the better your reception is going to be. And then there's the quality of the signal based on the antenna that you buy.
Yeah, so as far as improving what you have, I mean, I don't think tinfoil can help anymore like it did in the old days. So maybe relocating the antenna. The other key that Bob brought up was because of the issue with the broadband being consumed by streaming services, ironically, antenna is being considered even more because if this is going to go on for a while, an antenna might be the best way to get your your broadcasts versus the stream, oddly enough. So I don't think we can necessarily tell you to do anything with that current antenna other than relocate it or maybe replace it with another option. And we'll put a link of the best ones, according to CNET, that are out there and see if a different antenna works for the different channels. I wish I could give you better advice. There's no booster that I'm aware of. There's nothing that you can put in between the antenna itself and your TV to improve the signal that I'm aware of. It is what it is based on the antenna. So that's really your only choice.
Well, it'll certainly help to know what some of the other options for antennas are out there. And could it be my imagination, or did it get worse since this last summer, since there were all the change-ups with the way the stations had to be broadcasting?
You know, that's possible, but I don't think they lost their actual frequencies, so that shouldn't change. Go ahead, Bob.
One of the things that you had to do if you were doing over the air was recalibrate your channels. So you had to do a new channel search.
And so do you think the broadcast ranges got weaker when they recalibrated?
No, they changed the frequencies a little bit.
Okay.
If you were getting them, technically they were supposed to be on a specific frequency, but they changed them a little bit, so you had to research.
So she could be right. It could be related to that change.
Correct.
That if that seems to be when this effect happened. But generally, broadcasting with antennas is a much better signal than streaming. Nice raw feed.
High definition over the air is 10 times better than cable.
Well, you know, I noticed that. I was really surprised at first, but it definitely is, for sure.
Yeah.
And I appreciate your advice. May I have one more quick question?
If sure.
You could just guide me in a direction.
Mm-hmm.
I've just started looking into UMA because I want to get rid of the phone also through my internet provider.
Yeah.
And I just kind of was a little overwhelmed because there's so many options out there. I mean, I even noticed, you know, in addition to over internet, they've got 4G and then all the options. You know, is there something you could recommend? You know, I'd be hoping to something that might also have, you know, voicemail, and I don't know if they have handsets, but if you could just point me in a direction of where I should start looking, I would appreciate it.
Yeah, UMA is really all you need to do. When my wife and I found that we sort of cut that line and went over to UMA because all you pay for is the taxes and the FCC charges for the line. UMA itself will sell you the base connection, and then they'll sell you the handsets. So if you want to still use an old-fashioned line like that, I would tell you just bite the bullet and go to your cell phone. I assume you have one, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I don't know. I'm almost there, but not quite. So I just didn't want all sorts of calls to always coming to my cell phone. But maybe I'm close enough to do that. It really makes sense because right now I don't have a landline anyways when cable goes out or electricity goes out since I'm over, you know, my internet provider. So, you know,
and
really what's the difference.
And I think the cell phones do a better job of blocking the spam calls these days than the old lines did anyways. You can keep your phone number. You could convert your landline number to a Google Voice, and then you could have that number forward, I suspect, to your cell phone if you really wanted to keep that number, per se. So I would tell you to look into that if you wanted a free way to keep your number and still use the cell phone and kind of kill two birds. A lot cheaper than even paying the taxes on these lines. But UMA is a good choice. I think my bill in the old days was like $5, which was all the taxes and stuff for the line, which is the rest of it was free. So, but finally we got rid of it. I finally told my wife, enough, because we weren't even listening to the line. Our answering machine was sitting there collecting all the calls, but nobody was looking at them.
Great. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your advice and have a great day.
Yeah, you too. You're welcome. We're going to step out for a quick break. I'm not sure how many lines are jammed up or not, but we've got probably a couple lines open. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Feel free to get online. We'll be right back after this quick break. To get all your calls today. We're here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in from Healthy Rounds, I'm sure, talking about COVID and what you can do to protect yourself. So stick around for that as well. Let's go right to your calls. We'll go to Guy in West Hartford first. Good morning, Guy.
Morning, Eric and Bob.
What can we do for you?
I've got two coronavirus-related questions for you, topics of conversation.
Okay.
So the first has to do with common services. For example, keyboards, mice, even remote for televisions, handheld telephones, remote telephones. Mm-hmm. How do you recommend we keep these surfaces germ-free?
Well, the Clorox wipes would be the way I would tell you to do it. They're not; they don't seem moist enough to cause damage, but they obviously can kill whatever's on those surfaces. So I think that would be the way to go. Just don't push and squeeze the juice out there into your keyboard or the liquids out into your keyboard while you're trying to wipe it down. I think that would be a good way to keep those surfaces clean. What do you think, Bob?
I'm pretty much the same. That's what I'm using.
Okay.
One thing I've done in especially in hotels or rental units is to take some Saran wrap and wrap the remotes or the telephones in the Saran wrap. It's amazing how well they still work when you press through the wrap, and you can be assured that you're not touching anything that was there before.
Sure. Yep. That'll work.
So my second topic has to do with group conferencing and group meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I've had limited success with Skype connectivity. You know, sometimes we won't get the video, we'll get the audio, but not the video and whatnot.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's just our lack of use, but for small groups, 10, 15, 20 people, what are your recommendations around group conferencing?
Yeah, so we've recommended Zoom video conferencing quite a lot. And again, the issues of these cloud-based services like Skype, Zoom, that are now all being hammered by the same people at the same time, they're going to have a hard time delivering smoothly. Because this is a disaster nobody thought about. Nobody tried to mitigate for this. You know, in our client base, what type of disaster do you come up with where you say everyone on the planet is going to work remotely at the same time and configure it now? You know, it's crazy. So these services like Skype and Zoom are going to all see degradations due to the volume of folks that are using them. But Zoom is free based on how many folks you connect and how long the conference is. Of course, they are interested in getting your business too. So there's paid services as well. I suspect the free services are going to have the poorer performance than the paid ones, because I'm sure they're going to prioritize better servers to host those folks that are paying for the service. But Zoom is a good alternative. We have a lot of clients who use it. And works generally well, but I can't guarantee it's going to work beautifully through this for the next few weeks as we deal with this.
I heard that Google is offering their conferencing service, for free or no cost, at for the next few weeks.
Sure, it's the least they can do, right?
Exactly.
And they've been taking all of our data forever and selling it. That's the only reason they're making so much money. We've been giving it to them for free. They can give some to us for free that has value. That'd be nice.
They'll probably figure a way to make money off it, even giving it out for free.
Oh, they will, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're going to know exactly about you when you connect. It's not like they're doing it out of the kindness of their hearts necessarily. It sounds nice, though, doesn't it?
Sure does. Well, keep up the good work. Thanks, and stay safe.
All right, Guy. Thank you. You too. And we'll go on to Steve in Farmington next. Are you there, Steve?
Yeah, hey, thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
So I'm on a speakerphone. You hear me okay?
I do. It's always better, though, to pick up the actual receiver, if you can.
All right, I picked up the actual receiver. Thanks,
thank
guys.
You.
Okay, yeah. So I work from home. I have a work computer. It's a laptop with a docking station, and I use that as a second screen. Then I have a big monitor. But I used to have Windows Vista.
Oh, gee.
That died a couple of years ago. I've never replaced it. So the only personal computer I have is on my phone. I need a new computer. I don't know whether to go desktop or laptop. I'm not a gamer. I would just keep like Excel kind of files and Word docs and stuff like that on it, and websites and things like that. Not sure what I should be doing or what I should buy or what are those little things that I can't even remember.
Oh, the Chromebooks?
Yeah, and all that stuff. And I just got an email the other day on a new product who came out with Apple MacBook Air. Just wondering what your opinion on that. Should I get a desktop or a laptop? And suppose I wanted to listen to like YouTube or music through my TV, through my good speakers in my living room. What would be the best interface, kind of thing?
All right, so there's two questions. So the first question on desktop or laptop really comes down to if you're going to be mobile or not. If the machine is just going to sit in the same place all the time, get a desktop. It'll last a lot longer. It'll perform a lot longer, serve you a lot longer than a laptop will, because laptops take a beating, generally give you four years of service. A good desktop can give you 6 years or more. So keep that in mind. Whether you, if you're an Apple guy, though, that's a whole different scenario, right? Apple's a whole different ecosphere of approach to computing, and I really don't have a lot of experience with it myself because I've chosen to stay away from Apple products due to their cost, right? Not okay. due to their quality, their cost. The cost for an Apple is I can usually buy two PC-based systems for one Apple device. So if you got nothing but money, take a look at Apple. But as far as your mobile versus non-mobile, it really comes down to you. And you don't need a lot of machine to do what you described. An i5, 8 gigs of RAM, solid-state hard drive on either a desktop or a PC or a desktop
eight,
or a laptop.
8 gigs of RAM, you said?
Yep, 8 gigs minimum.
Okay. Now, what about... Okay, so I don't... So, say I don't go the Apple route. When it comes to, like, software, I know there's the Microsoft package that has Excel and Word that costs money, and then there's a free one like Office. Any recommendations one over the other?
Well, OpenOffice. I think you're thinking of OpenOffice.
Yeah, OpenOffice is pretty good.
That is a free tool that you can check out. However, you may have some trouble opening Word documents with the OpenOffice. It all depends.
Not all the features in OpenOffice work as well as they do in the Microsoft product.
But because it's free, you can try it yourself and see how you like it.
All right.
And as far as your TV, go ahead.
I'm wondering, how would I interface? I've got a smart TV. Does that have anything to do with interfacing with my computer?
I can. If you want to do any interfacing with your computer, you could plug your computer into your smart TV's inputs through HDMI. If it has a methodology of connecting to maybe pictures or what have you, you could do something like that with your smart TV. But generally, a smart TV is designed to run apps designed to give you some sort of entertainment, whether it's the Disney Plus or the Hulu or the YouTube TV or whatever. I recommend getting away from even using the smart TV functions and buying a separate streaming device, like an NVIDIA Shield or a Roku. The onboard stuff that these smart TVs have are just so problematic.
I would just use the smart TV, the HDMI input, as an extra monitor, and don't use the smart TV functions, if you will.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks. I think you answered all my questions. I had this note to call you from like 3 years ago and finally getting around to it.
Wow. All right, Steve. I'm glad we could help. Good luck.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, because he was running Vista in the past. That's an old system.
That's like 11 years, I think.
Yeah, well.
Isn't it? 2009?
He did procrastinate a bit. So I think we have time to take another call. We're going to go to Ron in Florida next. What's going on, Ron?
Hey, how you doing, Eric?
Good. How's it going down there in Florida?
It's 85 degrees and sunny.
Nice. So what can I do for you?
Yeah, this should be right up your alley. I have an HP Envy.
All right.
And I was looking through my C drive the other day to see which files I was going to back up and which I weren't. And I found these files called HPQware.
Yeah, did you know what that was, Bob?
Yeah, I did look it up. And then my browser crashed.
What?
There's hundreds and thousands of them.
Yeah, you're not alone. I'm looking here. Infected with HPQware. People are trying to figure out whether it's malicious or not. I'm not sure it is or not. We may have to actually do a little research here. Maybe while you were searching it, Bob, you got infected. I'm just kidding. That could never happen to Bob. But people are feeling the same way you are. What the heck is this HPQware? It goes back a ways, though. So I'm not sure exactly if it's something you can delete. What's the operating system you're running? Is that an old operating system?
Windows 10. I'm up to date on everything. Yeah.
All right. Good, good, good. Let me see here. Yeah, we're going to have to look it up further. I don't think it's going to be something we can get right out of off the top of our heads. It is up our alley, like you said, but not necessarily top of our heads.
All those HP computers that you support, I
know.
See,
you think? Yeah, you would have thought someone said, "Hey, what's going on with the HPQware?" But Bob's never seen it in the field, right, Bob?
No.
Wow.
So, but obviously it is it's something that's out there because we're seeing a lot of posts on it. It's just I haven't found any real answers yet. I don't think it's malicious. Most likely it has to do with their servicing utility that happens to do with, you know, keeping your system up to date and drivers
well,
up to date.
Somebody said that some of it is to support the IE Explorer.
Oh,
which doesn't
I don't know.
Make sense.
It really does. That doesn't make any sense. Let us do a little lookup here for you, Ron, while we go through the top of the hour news. Is that okay?
That's okay.
All right. So I'm going to have Matt put you on hold because I can't do it from our hermetically sealed bunker here. He'll put you on hold, and then we'll do a little research. Everything we've talked about today has been posted live over at computertalkwithtab.com, which is the name of the show.com, which also works. So everything we've talked about, you don't have to remember it. It's there for you. And if you follow us on Facebook, if you like Tab Computer Systems and Mark Zuckerberg deems the news worthy, it just may get into your news feed. So stick around. We're going to be here for another live hour. From the hermetically sealed bunker over here at Tab Computer Systems in our own radio studio, doing our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns during this unprecedented craziness that we're all living through called COVID-19. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities, all with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.